Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 8th day of April, 2019. And I am thrilled to have on for the first time a man. If I could change my name to any name on the planet Earth, it would be Chad Vegas, because I think it's the coolest name that has ever been given to a child born of woman. And this is a name that could easily be a private detective name in a movie. But Chad is the founding pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Bakersfield, California. And he's going to be speaking at the upcoming East Coast Ministers Conference being conducted by the Banner of Truth here in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And that's going to be on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. And today we are going to be speaking on the vital role of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Chad Vegas.
Hi, how are you, Chris?
I'm doing great, Chad. And let me give our email address out immediately for those of our listeners who want to join us on the air with a question for you in regard to the vital role of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners. And, of course, since you're a pastor, we're going to extend and broaden that for our audience. If they want to ask you a question on any theological issue, they can do that at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. First of all, Chad, if you could let us know about the Sovereign Grace Church of Bakersfield, California.
Yeah, so Sovereign Grace is a church not associated with Sovereign Grace Ministries that I think you guys are familiar with on the East Coast, but we're not
yes.
familiar with out here. But we're a Reformed Baptist church. Our elders and deacons confessed the Second London Baptist Confession, 1689. We planted the church in 2007. It was actually Sunday, January 21st, 2007 was our first Sunday. Started gathering some people in September of 06 to plant this church here in Bakersfield, which is my hometown where I was born and raised. I had been a pastor, an associate pastor at a large, well, really was an evangelical megachurch, and my theology shifted in a Reformed direction, and I didn't really want to cause issues there. And at the same time, the city I was pastoring in was growing quite quickly. In fact, in the decade of 2000-2010 was the fastest growing city in California. I think we grew in that 10-year span by 101,000 people. And so I thought, hey, it's a great opportunity to plant a church, so we did. And the church has been up and going ever since.
Well, praise God. Now, I'm not a numbers person who attaches value to any particular congregation according to the number of people that they have there, because you could have one of the most biblically faithful churches in any given area that's small numerically because of the fact that they're teaching the truth and unpopular, but that's not always the case. I have modern-day heroes like John MacArthur and others who have very large congregations. At least they're very large for Reformed Baptists and Calvinists. And so tell us about the difference that you have experienced going from pastoring a mega church to Sovereign Grace Church of Bakersfield, California?
Well, I mean, the initial difference was dramatic, obviously, because when we first started the church, there were seven of us, you know. So I went from a church where I was one of 12 pastors, so there were more pastors on the staff than were people in my original church. So, and even when we gathered our initial core group at 30, our church staff, the church I was at, was larger than that, was, you know, somewhere in the 40 region. So that was dramatically different, just right off the cuff. I mean, there were 3,500 people or so in that church. But just as far as what it was like, it was a lot more lonely initially as far as the community I was a part of. But as far as just as a pastor, I was on my own. But it was an incredible time. I think for us, the big difference was trying to understand and work through, if you will, being a church in Reformation. We saw a lot of people get saved and baptized over the years, which we're thankful for. We've seen a lot of people move in a more reformed direction. So they were, before, more broadly evangelical, and they've moved in a more reformed direction. We've seen both of those things happen, for which we thank the Lord. But I think the biggest learning curve for us and difference for us has been trying to understand what it means to go from being kind of this broad evangelical to now, how does it show up in the shape of ministry and pastoral ministry in the church to now be this confessionally reformed guy, right? That's a big shift.
Oh, yeah.
And I believed, if you will, at the church I was at before, I believed in the doctrines of grace, but I wasn't confessional, and I had no idea how those doctrines of grace really connected with the kind of ministry I was to be doing. I mean, I was believing the doctrines of grace and helping a church promote purpose-driven ministry. And I didn't recognize the disconnect for a long time. when I left in part to plant this church, and so just learning how to work out what does pastoral ministry actually look like biblically, as opposed to sort of what I thought it was in the context of a kind of seeker-sensitive, purpose-driven sort of church.
Yeah, I am continually baffled by some friends and brothers who are fellow Reformed Christians who seem to still, for some reason, be enamored with Rick Warren. And I have to remind them, do you realize that he calls Pope Francis his pope? I mean, just kind of a strange kind of a phenomenon. But I'm sure that not every single thing that Rick Warren says is false, but to be enthusiastic about the direction he is going is strange for me when someone is already enlightened by the Reformed faith. So that's what makes it even more strange. But what we typically do on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when we have a first-time guest, such as you, is we have them give a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what providential circumstances our Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Yeah. Well, so I was not raised in a Christian home. My father was a police officer. He had been in Vietnam and a drill sergeant in the Army, et cetera. Then he had become a police officer in our local police department. My mom was a hairdresser. And like I said, I was born and raised here in Bakersfield in this town. They were not believers in any way, shape, or form. We didn't even go to church on Christmas and Easter, right? So there was no Christian background at all. When I was 6 years old, about 9 days before, it was actually 9 days before I turned seven, my father was killed in the line of duty. And, at that point, you know, a lot of questions started in my mind about what happens after death and what's this all about, even as a little kid. I didn't fully understand it, obviously. And walking through that, my mom started dating and life went on. For some time there, we actually got a bit, especially me, we got caught up a bit with a neighbor down the street who was very much into New Age, kind of a sort of a new age priestess, big into astrology. So I was reading a lot of those kinds of books at the time. And my mom was dating another man who was just a great guy when I was in fifth grade, who we were excited about. She was planning to marry him. They were going to get married, and then he got killed.
Wow.
And yeah, and that was a kind of a second dramatic situation in which I wondered who's God? What's going on? I mean, I had heard of Christianity because of things like Little House on the Prairie, or, you know what I'm saying? Like American television in the 80s, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? I had heard of that kind of stuff. We're in my public school singing Christmas carols, like that sort of stuff. But that's about all the exposure I had. After this man's name was Rick, after Rick got killed, my neighbor, the priestess, basically told us that my mom had killed people in her former life, and this was karma coming around again.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was going to sixth grade, and I realized at that point, you know, I it sounds like a strange thing to think about as a sixth grader, but I thought, man, you know, I wouldn't have put it in this language, but essentially worldviews have consequences, and that's a terrible worldview, right? And so a terrible understanding of things. So I was looking for something else. At that point, a friend invited me to a Baptist church. I heard something maybe that roughly approximated the gospel. I'm not sure it was the gospel, but it roughly approximated. What I heard was, if you don't want to go to hell, but you want to go to heaven, you got to believe in Jesus, so come down this aisle. So I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go to hell. So I went down. This guy prayed with me. I started professing, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But then they never took me back to church. So through junior high and high school, I just started looking around. I went to one of my best friends was Mormon. His dad was a stake bishop, so I went over there for a little bit and looked at that. Went to the Roman Catholic Church in my neighborhood, checked that out. Went one of my other close friends, Jehovah's Witness, went and checked that out. I just knew, actually, what was interesting is when I went to the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness Church, though I knew nothing about them, the Lord kindly, graciously made it very clear to me, hey, these are cults. This is bizarre. So I didn't go. I didn't keep that up. And in high school, I found a church youth group that I started going to on my own. And some kids there, actually a junior in high school. I didn't have a ride. I was a freshman. This junior in high school came up to me, and he started offering me rides. And he actually went about 20 minutes out of his way each direction every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to bring me to church. It's just a high school kid. And so I was coming, hearing some of the word, and then it was in college where I really went off to a Christian college and met the woman who became my wife and another friend, and they pressed on me, especially this other friend pressed on me about, are you going to follow Christ or not? Like, you know, so I started, I would say following Christ sincerely, probably when I was 18 years old in freshman year of college.
And how and when did you discover the doctrines of sovereign grace? Because obviously you had said earlier that even when you were pastoring the mega church, even though you weren't being logically consistent with the doctrines of grace, you had already embraced them. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So I was attending this church this mega church I ended up becoming a pastor at. At the time I was attending it, it wasn't a mega church at that time, but I was attending it in my early 20s, right after I graduated college. My wife and I were going there. I was teaching high school at the time at a public high school, and I was helping with the Bible club. And one of the high school kids in the Bible club came to me and asked me some questions about the Bible. He said he had gone to a church, and it was some kind of a word of faith sort of service, and there was all the, you know, laughing in the spirit and being slain in the spirit, et cetera. And he came and asked me, he said, oh, Mr. Vegas, what do you think about that? And I said, oh, I don't think that's biblical. That's not good. He said, why not? I said, I just doesn't sound right. He said, can you show me the Bible? And I told him, yeah, I don't know that I can. And he actually looked at me. I remember this 16-year-old kid looked at me right dead in the eyes and said, you're going to hold yourself up as a Christian teacher on this campus. Don't you think you ought to know more about your faith? And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I think I should. So do you have any ideas for me? You know, and he said, why don't you ask your church? And I said, well, that's not been super helpful thus far. So, but on that Sunday, I went to church, and they had a thing in the bulletin about a conference. And there's the college group was going to a Bible conference. And it sounded like a disease to me at the time when I read it, because I'd never heard of it or didn't know what it was, but it said Bible conference, so I thought I'd go, and it was a Ligonier conference. And so I said, oh, I'll go to that. So I went to the Bible conference at the college group, the Ligonier conference, and it was actually at John MacArthur's church.
Double whammy. Double whammy there.
Yep. So I had John MacArthur, Sinclair Ferguson, R.C. Sproul, Jerry Bridges. These were the guys preaching. Yep. And I remember sitting there in the pew thinking, why haven't I been told this my whole life, right? And being sort of captured by it. I actually met Sinclair Ferguson on one occasion and told him that when he was preaching on the love of God at that conference, that was actually in the fall of 1998, he was preaching on the love of God, I had a second baptism of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I suddenly, my heart burned within me, and I walked out to the bookstore and I bought every book that they had available. And I went over to these seminary booths. I didn't know what a seminary was. I walked up and asked them, what's a seminary? They said, it's a place where pastors get trained. I said, I don't want to be a pastor, but I'd like to learn the Bible. Can I come? And they said, yes. So I applied to a seminary and ended up going to seminary. And then a year later, the church I was at said, hey, you've got some training. Why don't you come on here? And so I did and started serving with them and preaching and serving various ways as an associate pastor. And then eventually, as, you know, things sort of settled down, I now believe these doctrines of grace, but I'm at this church. I think they go together. And I was one of these guys who thought, my doctrine is here, but method is neutral. And I didn't realize at the time that method is really determined by what you believe about who God is and how he works and who man is and what his need is, etc. And so at some point I came to that realization and planted a church.
Okay. Praise God. And you are going to be speaking at the conference that we mentioned before, the East Coast Ministers Conference for the Banner of Truth. And I just really love this conference. And as you told me before the show started, this is your first time not only speaking at one, but your first time attending a Banner of Truth conference. And tell us something about what you will be addressing underneath the heading of I Believe in the Holy Spirit. What would be the subtopic, if you will, underneath that heading that you will be addressing?
Well, you're going to laugh because I feel I find the question a little bit humorous because I'm not entirely certain yet. And the reason is so I'm also speaking at the West Coast Conference, and Ian Hamilton asked, FaceTime with me about the West Coast Conference, said, I need two topics from you. I want them to be on the New Covenant Ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to focus, think about these things. And so I have titles for those messages. And they're those titles and texts, and I know where I'm going with those messages. But the East Coast Conference, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, here are the titles that everybody else is doing. You just preach the closing sermon. And I said, okay. But is there a topic? Nope. Just do a pastoral exposition of some text. Oh, okay. So I know it needs to be on the Holy Spirit, and I know it needs to be a pastoral exposition of a text. At this point, I haven't landed entirely on what text that will be. I have a couple of ideas bouncing around as far as I've got a few texts I'm studying to that end. I also recognize I'm I'm one of the guys who's not coming in with a Scottish brogue who quotes Owen as if we were roommates. So I want to be mindful of studying the text well. But my hope is just to encourage these brothers there in the power of the Holy Spirit to work through the ordinary means of grace as a pastor, to trust the head of the church with his people, and not to think that we somehow by our efforts can gin up can gin up some sort of results that we hope to see. You know, and so I have a few passages I'm looking at, and I'm just wanting to encourage the pastors and elders and deacons, et cetera, who are there to look to Christ, to trust the power of the Holy Spirit through his word.
Amen.
So that's my goal, but I don't know yet where the Lord will providentially guide me as far as the text I'm going to exposit. I have, like I said, I have a few ideas.
Well, I am looking forward to it, and I will be addressing this or announcing that this information later, but I just want to make sure that I do so for those of our listeners who may have to leave listening early. The Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference is going to be held May 28th through the 30th, and that's going to be in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania at the Elizabethtown College. And just so you know, that May 28th through the 30th is a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And the theme is, as I just mentioned, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. The speakers include Chad Vegas, who I am interviewing right now, Jeff Kingswood, who is going to be my guest, God willing, on Tuesday, the 23rd of April. Looking forward to interviewing Jeff for the first time, and I have really been blessed by his preaching, not only at the Banner of Truth conference, but also at the church where I am a member, Grace Baptist Church, where he has visited and preached. Terry Johnson is also going to be an upcoming guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the 6th of May, God willing. David Vaughn, who is a Reformed Baptist missionary in France. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries Reformation Bible College. Michael Morales. And, as I said, Chad Vegas. So, please, if you want to register for this conference, the East Coast Ministers Conference, May 28th through the 30th, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. Click on events, and then click on East Coast Ministers Conference. We do have a question from Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie wants to know, is there words of advice you could give not only to pastors but Christians in general who put too much emphasis on the importance of the size of a congregation where they are either shepherding or where they are a member? It seems to be a preoccupation on the minds of many Christians. They don't think a church is valuable unless it is humongous in size. And I'm not saying anything bad against the mega churches, but they are easier to get lost in. They are easier to avoid church discipline, and they tend to be less authentic and sound in their theology, which is why they attract a large crowd, because it seems that the truth is so unpopular today. Can you please give any words of counsel or advice to our listeners?
Yeah, I think he loads some of the answer to his own question. And the question, I mean, obviously, it's not that the Lord is not concerned with saving and building up people, and he doesn't count them or know them himself, but it isn't really our responsibility to know the number of his elect, nor to figure out how many ought to be gathered in our local congregation. I mean, at this point, I think as a pastor, our calling is really clear. It's really well laid out in Scripture. Preach the word in season and out of season. You know, pray for the saints, care for them, shepherding the flock of God among us, visiting your people. These sorts of things aren't attached to numbers. They're not attached to whether your church is, you know, able to afford to pay you bivocationally or full time. They're not attached to how well you're known. What people think of you, as far as, you know, whether you're relatively popular as a pastor or not. For me, the big change, one of the texts that really shifted my understanding of pastoral ministry, particularly while I was at a megachurch, was sort of the fear of God with regard to a passage like Hebrews 13:17, where it says about obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those will have to give an account. And I remember asking our elders, how are we going to account for the couple thousand people we don't even know? I mean, I see them in the grocery store and they say, "Hi, Pastor," and I have no idea who they are. And I'm just giving account for their souls. Have I given much thought to needing to know the sheep whom Christ has entrusted to my care? And what does that look like for me in pastoral ministry? I'm not suggesting, for example, I want to be careful here, that someone like John MacArthur, whose church is 10,000 people or whatever it is therefore unfaithful because he can't name all 10,000 people. I imagine he has a group of elders and under-shepherds who serve alongside of him who do know all of those folks, or at least I hope that's the case. But personally, I'm not even interested anymore in being involved in a mega church, just because I want to know and care for and pray for and visit and the people that whom Christ has entrusted to my care. I want to be able to give an account for them.
Amen. I had to chuckle when I was interviewing Phil Johnson, who's a friend of mine, and in fact, he is the most frequently interviewed guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, the executive director of Grace to You, John MacArthur's media ministry. But I had to chuckle when I was interviewing him because he was telling me that he runs a Bible study at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, which is sort of like a church within a church. And he said, we're sort of like a small church of about 500 people. And I said to him,
yeah.
I said, Reformed Baptist would think that is a mega church, Phil. I mean, just to give you some perspective on Reformed Baptist.
Yeah, that's probably generally true. I mean, I think their fellowship inside the church is something called Grace Life, I think.
Yeah,
and they have pastors and elders in that, and then I think they even have small groups and all the whole thing off of that that are associated with that one group. I know that's what they do. They've essentially accommodated the size of that church by having these kind of almost sub-churches within it.
And by the way,
folks, power to them, I guess.
I'm sorry?
I said, God bless them. I'm not particularly interested in all of that kind of administration. I just rather care for the people and know them and, you know. So, anyway,
Amen. And by the way, folks, pray because Phil is working on having John MacArthur return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for his second interview on this broadcast. And so please pray that that comes to fruition. And I hope it comes to fruition soon. I've been eager to have John back on the show. It's been a long time, and I am really waiting with bated breath to hear good news from Phil. We're going to go to our first break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question for our guest today, Chad Vegas, primarily on the vital role of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners, but you may ask other questions involving Christian theology and pastoral issues, please send your emails to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And don't go away. We'll be right back with Chad Vegas after these messages. Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing, Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessial in 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Chad Vegas, founding pastor of the Sovereign Grace Church of Bakersfield, California. We are discussing the vital role of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners, and we're also promoting the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth, where our guest Chad is going to be speaking on the roster of other speakers. And that is going to be held Tuesday, the 28th of May, through Thursday, the 30th of May, in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, at the Elizabethtown College. For more details, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. We have a listener who has a question that is somewhat off topic, but we will take it since our guest is a pastor, and it is a pastoral question for certain. We have David in Ada, Ohio. It says, we are having an upcoming Bible study about the death of infants and where do they go. We know they are under the curse because they have died, but do the scriptures give any indication as to where the infants who die in infancy go? Thank you and God bless. This is a very controversial subject that is sure to get some people upset no matter how you answer it. And in fact, as you know, Chad, there are Reformed brothers who disagree on this question, even though they may be in lockstep in most other theological areas. But if you could give us your view on this.
You know, I mean, that is a tough question. I'm not sure that I'm the best guy to make a great scriptural argument for it, because I cannot say that I've ever done a kind of intensive biblical study on that particular topic. I know that there are things that we can say. Certainly every infant who is conceived is conceived in sin, has original corruption and guilt. in that sense. And so I would say justly could be condemned. Yet we don't, you know, we see examples of texts, for example, when David is praying for his son, or praying to the Lord about his son who has died, and he seems to be quite certain he's going to see that son who died in infancy in heaven in some way. Though the text is disputed, I know it looks as if there's some way in which God has saved that infant. Obviously, when we consider a text which is extraordinary, so I don't want to make a big theological case out of it, but a text like John the Baptist, who seems to be regenerate even in the womb.
Amen, yes.
Obviously, we know that that's a possibility. The London Baptist Confession sums up what they think Scripture is teaching this way. They say elect infants, this is in chapter 10, paragraph 3, elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit, who works when and where and how he pleases. So also are all other elect persons who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the word. So this would be a kind of extraordinary circumstance in the sense that the elect are ordinarily called by the ministry of the word. But while we all will all agree that the elect are ordinarily called by the ministry of the word and regenerated and given the gift of faith in Christ, that's what ordinarily happens. When we come to the case of those who are extremely mentally handicapped or who die in infancy, et cetera, we tend to talk about the Holy Spirit's sovereign will to work how he pleases in that, and we would be talking about him working in an extraordinary way to save that infant or that very mentally handicapped sort of person who is an elect person dying in infancy. That's how we would sum that up. My church confesses that. I'm confessionally bound to hold to that and to teach that. But by the grace of God, I haven't had to do a lot of infant funerals, thankfully. We have a young congregation, and with modern medicine, haven't had to do a lot, so I haven't had to wrestle with the topic all that much. So I would claim some ignorance as to the ability to give great flesh to that biblically.
That's an excellent question, David. Thank you for sending it in. And just to throw my two cents in there, most Reformed people that I have discussed this with, whom I've discussed this issue, have claimed to take an agnostic position, not the denial of the existence of God or the doubting or so on, but on this issue, they claim that the Bible doesn't give sufficient information for us to know with certainty what happens to children after they perish, other than the elect, children who are the elect. But I can tell you, even though most Reformed people I discuss this with claim to be agnostics on it, I can say that a man that we just mentioned, one of my modern-day heroes, John MacArthur, believes all children who die in infancy would not have died in infancy unless they were or are the elect, that God only permits children to die in infancy who are the elect, and they will certainly be in heaven. Charles Spurgeon also believed that, and I know Al Mohler believes that, and I'm sure that there are many others, but I can give you at least those names who are very prominent figures in Christendom, especially within Calvinistic circles. But thanks, David. Keep listening and keep spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Ada, Ohio, and beyond. Well, let's go into our main theme right now, brother, where let me just start off by saying it has been falsely claimed by, especially if you want to bring up the primary individuals who falsely claim that Calvinists are dead in the Spirit, devoid of the Spirit, have a low view of the Holy Spirit. They would be the Charismatics and Pentecostals, although there are some who are Reformed within that group of people, or those groups, especially today in the 21st century, where that was almost unheard of for nearly 100 years. But I believe, and I've always responded to my Charismatic and Pentecostal friends when they make such a statement, I tell them, I believe that Calvinists have a more important and highly exalted view of the Holy Spirit than they do, because we believe that sinners can't even believe without the Holy Spirit first regenerating us. We believe that there is a more important role that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, has than they do. But if you could respond to what I just said and add anything that you care to mention.
Yeah, I mean, historically, that kind of argument is problematic. I mean, B.B. Warfield refers to Calvin as a theologian of the Holy Spirit. If you read Calvin's Institute, it is just filled with discussions about the Holy Spirit. When you know, Owen's third volume in his Set the Banner of Truth publishes is 500 pages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and they're quite detailed pages of that. It is not the case that the Reformed in some way don't have a robust doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would concur with you. I think that the Reformed have a far more robust understanding of the Holy Spirit than what you find in most charismatic circles. They're fooling about with things like manifestations of the Holy Spirit, or at least professed manifestations of the Holy Spirit, things that they might consider warm feelings or experiences that are all a bit of a sideshow from the primary mission of the Holy Spirit. The Reformed historically, you know, we would put things like the doctrine of soteriology or the doctrine of salvation under the work of the Holy Spirit. In fact, from the Heidelberg Catechism, when we say what dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, first, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he is also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. So the way in which we talk about the Father as creator and the Son as redeemer and the Holy Spirit as sanctifier is this sense in which we have one God. We distinguish their work. That is, all their work is undivided in one, but we distinguish it by eminently attributing it to a particular person. And we say the Holy Spirit's primary work, the reason he's sent, is to make much of Jesus Christ, to give us faith, to unite us to Christ through faith. And that means he has to regenerate our hearts and, you know, give us life. And then he works powerfully in us to assist us to grow in grace so that we become conformed more and more into the image of Christ by the Lord who is the Spirit, right? This is the whole of our lives as Christians. Is a life in which we see that the Father has decreed in love to send the Son. The Son has come and purchased grace for us at the cross. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's come to assist us, to fellowship with us, so that we might know Christ and all of his benefits. So our whole life is a life in the Spirit. We don't even know the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. So it's not that we're looking for the Holy Spirit to show up for a sideshow or an experience or to do some little miraculous deed that we're hoping for. It's that we don't even think about life and breath and our regeneration and everything without the Holy Spirit. It's all him. He is carrying all things to their proper end.
Amen. And it's amazing how often I have heard when I have had friends visit a congregation where I have been a member or are a member or am a member, grammatically correct. where if they are from a charismatic or Pentecostal background, and by the way, I'm not slamming Pentecostalism or charismatic brothers and sisters. I'm just saying that these things are true, that even they, I think, will very readily admit. They will even make the accusation that the church that they are visiting, if it is Reformed, is devoid of the Holy Spirit or dead for very shallow reasons. Just because they don't see people jumping up and down, just because they hear people singing from a traditional hymnal. And on the flip side of that coin, though, we who are Reformed have very often been guilty of looking like we are bored to death when we are worshiping, and that should not be true. We have the least excuse to behave that way. But if you just could comment quickly on what I just said there.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, right? I have told, and I was once in a more charismatic camp years ago, and I have told folks time and again that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the purpose of, if you will, working in us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that we together as a body become mature in Christ. So if you want to judge the work of a Holy Spirit in the congregation, maybe you ought to assess the fruit of godliness there rather than assessing what looks like some kind of revivalistic experience, whether they jump up and down and shout and look excited. Because people can jump up and down and shout and look excited and walk out of the sanctuary and live lives of relative ungodliness, right? So correspondingly, you can walk into a congregation of elderly saints who are singing from an old hymnal and look not too excited about the Lord, but man, they are constantly in prayer, walking in godliness, suffering well, looking to Christ as a reward, you know, if you will. They are on the path of the celestial city in an almost undistracted way. And how do you look at that and say the Holy Spirit's not at work among them, but the people shouting and jumping around, he is? That's just not how we're to assess that kind of thing. I'd also say we have to come back to something like John 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit's coming to, he's coming to tell you about Jesus, to glorify Jesus. So I want to walk into a worship service and assess whether the Holy Spirit is at work there based on the fact that, is Christ being exalted here? Is he being looked to? Is his word being trusted? Or are they trusting in other things?
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway station break right now. This is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format, they require this middle break to air their own Lake City, Florida area commercials and public service announcements to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this longer than normal break. And while they air their commercials, we will be airing our globally heard commercials. And please write down the information provided by our advertisers because you will be more able to successfully and more frequently patronize them when you write down the information they provide. And we need our advertisers to exist. So therefore, the more frequently you patronize them, the more likely they will remain our advertisers and the more likely we will be able to stick around. Also write down questions for our guest today, Chad Vegas, at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And I'll read a question for you, Chad, and you could answer it when we return. Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania asks, the very famous verse in the Bible in Matthew 22, verse 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." How exactly is the Holy Spirit operating in the lives and the hearts and minds of the unelect if they are being called and yet they are not chosen? If you could answer that when we return, and we'll be right back, God willing, right after these messages from our sponsors.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We're made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time.
That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Chad Vegas, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Bakersfield, California. We're discussing the vital role of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of sinners, and we're also promoting the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth, which is coming up May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Before I return to our discussion with Chad, I just have some special announcements to make regarding upcoming events that I hope that you will all attend, if at all possible. First of all, our friends at the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, are having a conference on the theme, The Original Five Points of Calvinism, to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the Canons of Dort. This is being held Saturday, April 13th, Wednesday, April 17th, Wednesday, May 1st, in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. I know that we do have listeners in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, and also in the United Kingdom, in England and Wales and so on. So I hope that all of you who are able to attend this conference can make it there. That is April 13th, 17th, and May 1st at the Covenant Protestant Reformed Church of Ballymena, Northern Ireland. For more details, go to cprf.co.uk. That's CP, standing for Covenant Protestant, RF, standing for Reformed Fellowship, .co.uk. Then, coming up not long after that, we have from April 25th through the 27th, that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 25th, 26th, and 27th, the Dort 400 Conference is being held at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in, it is in Hudsonville, Michigan, and the speakers include Professor Ronald Kamenga, Professor Barrett Gritters, Reverend Brian Heisinger, Professor Doug Kuiper, Reverend Bill Lanarek, Reverend Mark Shand, and Reverend Angus Stewart. They will all be speaking on the theme of the Synod of Dort and the Canons of Dort in celebration of the 400th anniversary of this very important synod in the history of Christendom, and especially the Reformed faith. If you want more details on registering for this free conference, go to dort400.org, and that's spelled D as in David, O-R, D as in David, T, 400.org. Remember, there are two D's in Dort, D-O-R-D as in David, T. And then I am having, God willing, the Spring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, a free luncheon to all men in ministry leadership, featuring Dr. Tony Costa, a fellow Reformed Baptist who is professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. Dr. Costa is going to be speaking on the theme, How the Dead Sea Scrolls Vindicate the Reliability of the Scriptures. That's Thursday, May 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Any man in ministry leadership, whether you are a pastor or an elder, and I think that those are the same office, by the way, a deacon, a parachurch leader, any man in ministry leadership is invited for free as long as you register beforehand. And you will not only get to hear Dr. Costa for free, and he is a brilliant man, by the way. You've got to hear him if you have not heard him. But you'll also get free lunch, and you will get dozens of free books, brand new books, donated by nearly every major Christian publisher in the United States and the United Kingdom. Every man there leaves with a heavy sack of brand new books that I've selected from these publishers who have graciously been donating these books for over a decade, actually going on two decades now, it's really remarkable the way that God has blessed this free pastor's luncheon that began with my late wife in the early 1990s, whose brainchild this free luncheon is or was. And we look forward to seeing you there. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line, and I will be more than happy to register you to attend. And Dr. Costa will also be speaking after he leaves Pennsylvania on the Friday the 24th of May. He will be heading to Long Island, New York to speak at several churches for conferences that I have arranged there, and I will be there as well, and I'll give you more details on those conferences, God willing, in the very near future. Then we have, after that, after my luncheon, we have the conference that I have been promoting especially today, the East Coast Ministers Conference, I Believe in the Holy Spirit, May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, at the Elizabethtown College. This is the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth, featuring our guests today, Chad Vegas, Jeff Kingswood, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Stephen J. Nichols, and Michael Morales. If you'd like to register for the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, May 28th through the 30th, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. In fact, they are live streaming the UK conference beginning today. They already began live streaming this conference. So if you want to watch and hear that, wait till this show is over and then go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, and you can watch and hear the live streaming of the UK conference. But we hope to see you May 28th through the 30th here in the United States at the East Coast Ministers Conference in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And God willing, I will be there. Please look for me. I would love to meet you and greet you and have fellowship with you. And then finally, we have the Foundations Conference in New York City on December 19th and the 20th. This is a conference of sermonaudio.com, and it is always a phenomenal event. A very small venue, though, so if you want to register, I would register today to make sure that you are included in the registration, because they are going to fill up in no time, I'm sure. Speakers include Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you just heard moments ago promoting New York's New Covenant Fellowship, NYC, one of the sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Paul Washer is on the roster. Phenomenal preacher. And so is Reverend Jeff Thomas, another one of my favorite preachers from Wales. Reverend Armin Tomasian, if you don't know his name now, you will if you are Reformed, I believe. I'm strongly convinced he will be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade, Reverend Armin Tomasian. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley, neither of whom I have heard preach yet, but I'm looking forward to it. If you'd like to register for this event, the Foundations Conference in New York City, December 19th and 20th, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And finally, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, you look forward to sharing the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, you love to hear the guests and topics that we feature on Iron Sharpens Iron that are sometimes never heard anywhere else, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and if you prefer snail mail, an address will appear on the screen where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron. And we look forward to receiving those checks and those internet donations. I have two caveats that I try to remember to warn you about every day. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of the Scriptures. To provide for your church and home, providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please consider donating as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can to ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now, if indeed you love the show and don't want it to disappear from the airwaves. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you need help finding a Bible-believing church near you, I have churches of biblically faithful, I have lists, I should say, of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've already helped quite a number of people find churches near them, some of whom have joined those churches, others who have attended those churches while on vacation, and others who have referred those churches to their family, friends, and loved ones who live in those areas. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com if you need help finding a church, and put, I need a church in the subject line or something similar. If you want to advertise with us on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, send me an email too at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, and we will help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something compatible with what we believe here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Look forward to receiving your emails if you want to advertise. And chrisarnson@gmail.com is also the email address to send in a question for Chad Vegas of Sovereign Grace Church in Bakersfield, California, on the theme, The Vital Role of the Holy Spirit in the Salvation of Sinners. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Pastor Chad, as we said before the break, we heard from Susan in Dauphin County, Susan Margaret, that is, in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. She wants to know how the Holy Spirit is operating in the calling of the unelect, because in Matthew 22, verse 14, which is a very famous passage that even unbelievers may be familiar with, for many are called, but few are chosen. So how do you explain that? How is the unelect being called?
Yeah, well, I think we need to understand that parable just to get to that answer, because I don't think this is talking here about the Spirit's calling when it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. If you understand the nature, what's happening in this parable, Jesus is speaking, it's the last week of his life, and he compares the kingdom of heaven to a king giving a wedding feast for his son. So clearly, he's the son, the king is the father giving the wedding feast for the son, and then multiple times that word that you see in verse 14 of Matthew 22, for many are called, that word called is used multiple times actually in this text. It's in 14. It's, you know, it's either used in the adjectival form of the verb kaleo in Greek, or it's used as a perfect verb. But it says, for example, in verse 3, and he sent his servant to call. There's that verb to call those who were invited. That's the same word, the word invited. And then he says in verse 4, to tell those who are invited, again the same word. And then in verse 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding feast was ready, but those invited were not worthy. So there are people who are being invited by these servants who are sent out, saying, come to the wedding feast of the king's son, come to that wedding feast. There are people being invited, but they're not worthy. He comes to the wedding feast, and the king shows up at the wedding feast, if you will, in this parable, and assesses the guests, and he notices there's a guest with no wedding garment. And when he sees the guest without the wedding garment in verse 11, in verse 12, he addresses him and says, basically, how did you get into this wedding feast? You aren't worthy to be here because you don't have the wedding garment. And so the king has been cast in the outer darkness, and he says, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, the word chosen is actually a different word there. But the calling there seems to be referring to this kind of universal offer of the gospel. You know, we're going out and proclaiming the gospel to every tribe and tongue and nation. We're making them known, that, you know, making it known to them to look to the Son, to trust him to be saved. But unless they have the wedding garment, which I would take there to, in the sense of like Revelation 19, unless they're clothed with Christ's righteousness, they're not worthy to come to that wedding feast. The only folks who will be clothed with Christ's righteousness are those who look to him in faith. And the only people who look to him in faith, as he says in John chapter 6, are those whom the Father draws him. No one can come to me. No one is able, that word come. It's not a word of permission, but ability. No one, there's a universal negative, no one can, is able to come to me unless the Father draws him. And so, speaking of the effectual calling of the Father by the Spirit to Christ, And who does he draw effectually? Well, he draws all those who belong to Christ, that is, the elect, the few who are chosen.
Amen. And so basically what you're saying is, according to the Scriptures, the Great Commission, we are to proclaim the gospel to every creature, and only those who are among the elect are effectually called, that will be irresistibly drawn by grace to respond. The rest is, it's just an earthly call. It's not a call of God himself when we're speaking of the unelect.
Oh, yeah, it's like the call that I make every time I preach the gospel to anyone. My words float out there. They hear them. They might intellectually process them. They might even assent to them and say, I think they're true. But that isn't saving faith. The Holy Spirit has to give them a new heart.
Amen.
Jesus gets at this to some degree in John 6 after he says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. He then goes on, and it says, it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he was from God. He has seen the Father. So, in other words, in the context of the Gospel of John, obviously, the one who has seen the Father who comes from God is the Son. He's seen the Father. But the Father's the one who teaches people, if you will, about the Son, which is interesting because that's a quotation from a combination of Isaiah 54:13, which, if you know that part of Isaiah, Isaiah is pointing forward to this coming suffering servant, this Messiah who will save. And he says in Isaiah 54:13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord himself. He'll teach. Or if you look, for example, at Jeremiah 31, again in verse 34, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. The clear understanding here is that when we come into the new covenant, as far as this new redemptive historical age, there is this sense in which the Son has come to reveal the Father, and the Father is the one who gives the revelation of his Son to his people, which Jesus will say, no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except for the Father, and everyone to whom he chooses to reveal, and etc. And he says that all while rejoicing in the Holy Spirit, right? That there's a sense in which the Father is the one, by his Spirit, who reveals to us Christ, who teaches us to know him. And thereby knowing Christ, we now know the Father himself. And that's by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. So it's more, it's much more, if you will, supernatural. It is supernatural that the Holy Spirit does this work. As I preach, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. I would take that to mean that Christ himself is preaching by the Spirit. The Father is revealing to people or drawing people to Christ. And those whom the Father does that in, they're saved. That's why in Hebrews 2, for example, it says that Jesus is the one preaching, right? And I think we don't stop to consider enough that we see the act of preaching or this going out and telling someone the gospel as a very, kind of natural human thing. I'm explaining to somebody what I know about Christ. And we don't thereby account well enough for the work of the Holy Spirit, who is powerfully going to work by that word of Christ to convert the sinner. Or, as Paul says, to be an aroma of life to some and an aroma of death to others. But what's not happening is neutrality. When I teach the word of God to someone or I proclaim the gospel to someone, nothing neutral is happening there. They're either coming to life by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit as the Lord teaches them, or they are being, they are having condemnation heaped up upon them because of their hard-heartedness, not only in their sin, but now in their rejection of the gospel.
Amen. A great answer. We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, can you explain how inconsistent the non-Reformed Christian is when they object to an unconditional election and a particular redemption where God has a certain number of people known only to him that he elects and calls to himself. And yet they want to claim that the Holy Spirit is equally drawing every man, whether they are ever going to be saved or not. It seems to defy logic because of the fact that God has not even provided his word equally over the centuries to all peoples. And even today, not all people have an equal access to hearing the gospel preach and understanding it. Can you please explain how our Arminian and non-Reformed friends are being totally inconsistent about their denial of unconditional election and particular redemption?
Well, there's a lot to that. I guess the best thing for me to say is they essentially render the cross of Christ insufficient by saying that that Christ did not fully satisfy the wrath of God against all his people. He actually requires some improvement upon the work of Christ on the cross through our faith, that somehow our choosing to believe in some sense improves upon that work. So it's not fully sufficient. I would say he renders impotent the Holy Spirit. He's out doing his work, but at the end of the day, until I improve upon the work of the Holy Spirit, he's essentially impotent. And I would say, you know, they render, if you will, I would say the election of the Father to be something that makes him hostage to my choice. You know, the Father in his decree is now really no longer sovereign. He's under my authority as the person willing for my own salvation. So I look at it and I think I'm not saying that every person who is an Arminian is not saved. I remember when I was one, and by the grace of God, he opened my eyes to really understand and submit to what his scriptures say rather than my own rational mind. But at the end of the day, I think that we're committing an affront against the Holy Triune Lord when we teach that the Father's election is really submitting to my choice, that the Son's work on the cross really insufficient apart from my choice, and that the Holy Spirit's work in applying that to us is really ineffectual and rendered impotent by my choice. I think that's not, you know, it's a very unhelpful and ungracious gospel, and probably blasphemes the Lord if we just dig right down into it.
Yeah, I don't think you could get around the fact that if you really are going to be logically consistent with this, and I know that Arminians and non-Reformed Christians would never, or probably at least rarely, would say, rather than Jesus saves, Jesus tries to save. But I don't think that you can arrive at any other conclusion than to believe that they really believed Jesus tries to save, and that his death makes men savable and redeemable. It does not redeem them.
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, I remember hearing a sermon by Sinclair Ferguson years ago called What Jonah Learned. It was like at the Philadelphia Conference of Reformed Theology or something. But he talked about Jonah being in the belly of the fish, and Jonah declaring salvation belongs to the Lord. And he says, with his Scottish brogue, the fish spit him out because it was an Arminian fish. You know, can a person really say salvation belongs to the Lord? You know, that it's of him entirely. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, right? That you cannot proclaim that in a full-throated sense if you deny what we're saying in the doctrines of grace.
Right, and I don't think that you can make the claim that it is horrible to believe that God shows favor on a certain number of humanity to the exclusion of others, and maintain an Arminian gospel because of the fact that no one can make the case that God equally shows his favor on every person in the world. I mean, you can't make the case. There are people who would be executed in certain parts of the world if they believe in Jesus. So to say that God is equally drawing every person and under the Arminian concept is unattainable, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's why Arminians end up going toward, if they're really consistent, they end up moving towards something like an open theism.
Right.
Or
universalism.
God doesn't know, or a kind of universalism, exactly. One of those directions, they end up with some sort of, as long as people embrace the light that they have, sort of arguments.
Second chances after death.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like George MacDonald, where you go and you wait for a bit, and then you have this kind of second chance after death. But, you know, you look at those kinds of things they have to formulate in order to accommodate a rejection of things that are just plainly stated in Scripture. I mean, I don't know how anybody walks through Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. It's just not abundantly clear that the Father elects in the Son redeems, the Spirit applies that. You know, we look to Him in faith because of the work of our Triune Lord, not because of anything in us. If it were left up to me, I would be damned eternally. That's where I was before He rescued me. That's where I would remain.
Amen. And it's amazing how many evangelicals have adopted inclusivism and pluralism. They might say, for instance, in regard to inclusivism, that Jesus certainly is the only Savior, but you don't need to know that to be saved. In other words, a person who is a devout Muslim or a devout pagan who might even be worshiping multiple gods made of rock or wood, that person is really worshiping Christ and he doesn't know it and he'll be saved.
Yeah. And I think one of the responses to this kind of, when we're talking about election, I know what happens with people is they begin to say, then why pray and why do missions and why evangelize? And I think, you know, first of all, because God commands us to, and that's a good enough ground to do anything, right? It's God commands us to. It's like the conversation I had with a Presbyterian friend of mine who is a pastor, godly man, I love him. He said to me, you know, he's talking to me about why do you raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord if they're not covenant children? I said, because Ephesians 6 says I should. That's good enough, right? So, I don't have to, you know, come to evangelism and prayer and mission. The Bible commands me to do those things.
Amen.
I mean, we do them. And I trust the Lord to work in those matters. And frankly, I mean, our prayer meetings at the church I pastor, by the grace of God, our prayer meetings are generally full. And we have sent out from our church 9 missionaries to unreached people groups, and we have 10 more in line to go. And we helped start an organization called Radius International that trains people to go to the most difficult, most unreached places in the world to plant churches. We have, as of June, we'll have 153 graduates, and we have 60 more coming in to go do that. And what we're doing, you look at that and say, that's not remarkable in the history of the Reformed Church. We're the William Careys and Adoniram Judsons of the world come from us.
Amen. Well, I want you to now have 2 minutes of uninterrupted time to just summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners. I wanted to inform our listeners who might not be aware of this that the last 15 minutes or so of our program today, we are going to be joined by Dean Sell, who is the brand director at Sight and Sound Theaters in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's going to be giving us an update on things that are going on with the Sight and Sound Theaters. So we're having Chad Vegas leave us earlier than normal. But, Chad, if you could, just give us a two-minute summary of what you most want us, our listeners, to remember.
Yeah, you know, I think I would want to come back to 2 Corinthians 4 and just drive home the fact that the Holy Spirit's work is to effectually, powerfully work to bring us to Christ, to see him for who he is. This is what Paul says: therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I look at that passage and say, man, that's who we are. We are those people who know the gospel of Jesus Christ by his mercy. We make an open statement of that truth. We know that if men's minds are blinded from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, that that's because they're blinded by the God of this world. And we just keep proclaiming Jesus Christ, and we trust that the same God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence will speak into their heart and create them anew and save them in his Son. And so we can be people who have this treasure in jars of clay, just weak, if you will, useless vessels in and of ourselves. But by the calling and gifting of God, set apart for an honorable use to make Christ known. That's what we're here to do. I hope that we are faithful in that, and that we trust the Holy Spirit to work as we make an open statement of the truth about Jesus.
Amen. And I want our listeners to know that if you want more information about Chad Vegas and the congregation where he pastors in Bakersfield, California, go to bakersfieldchurch.org, bakersfieldchurch.org. That's Sovereign Grace Church in Bakersfield, California. And don't forget, if you want to register for the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference, where Chad will be preaching along with other men, go to the banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then click on East Coast Ministers Conference. It's been a joy to have you on Iron Trip and Zion Radio for the first time, Chad, and I look forward to many more interviews if God is willing, and if you are willing to participate, we'd love to have you return.
Yeah, sure. Let me know anytime. It's a privilege to be able to speak with you about our Lord and Savior to whoever is listening.
Amen. Well, I look forward to meeting you, God willing, at the Banner of Truth Conference, May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. So God bless you, brother. We look forward to our next time through the providence of God to have you on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
God bless. Don't go away, folks. We are going to be joined momentarily by Dean Sell, the brand director at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So stick around and listen to what Dean has to say regarding updates on this extraordinary Christian theater in Pennsylvania. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. Or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist Church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750. That's 508-528-5750. Or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org. That's providencebaptistchurchma.org. Or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. And we have now joining us for the very first time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dean Sell, Brand Director at Sight and Sound Theaters in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And Dean is going to be telling us about some very exciting updates about things going on at Sight and Sound Theater. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dean Sell.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for having me. Really good to be with you.
Oh, my pleasure, brother. And if you could let our listeners know a summary of the history of Sight and Sound Theater and exactly what it is, because we do have a global audience. Even though I am in Pennsylvania conducting this broadcast, I am very familiar with Sight and Sound. In fact, one of my fondest memories of my past with my late wife, Julie, my precious late wife, we had the opportunity to visit Sight and Sound Theater once, and I'm looking forward to a return visit. But tell us about Sight and Sound Theaters.
Well, thanks for saying that. You know, it is always so encouraging to hear people's stories and just their affection, you know, for Sight and Sound and the experience. Yeah, for those that don't know, Sight and Sound Theater started in 1976, over 40 years ago, with the mission of presenting the gospel of Jesus in a really creative form. And what it's become is that is that we've got 2 locations, one in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, one in Branson, Missouri, and these are massive state-of-the-art theaters where we bring Bible stories to life on stage in just epic scale. What our production teams come up with is just astounding. We're known for massive set pieces that tower 3 stories tall, Live animals are in the mix as well, that we have a part of every single show. And so for the last 40 years, we've done dozens and dozens of stories. We've welcomed 25 million people through our doors. And really excited in this new venture of filming our shows and broadcasting them into movie theaters all across the country.
Well, I could say firsthand, having been to a number of Broadway plays and some of the most famous of them all, Tony Award-winning plays, I can say that the Sight and Sound Theaters, and I'm not exaggerating, Sight and Sound Theaters, as far as the sets, as far as the acting, as far as the costumes, the whole nine yards, they meet and even, I think, far exceed the standards of Broadway-level performances.
Well, thank you for saying that, Chris. You know, we love to hear just people's encouragement, you know, and we say, hey, we really have an audience of one, you know, and that is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And so we just want to put forth the very best that we possibly can. And so we really do value excellence, you know, in everything that we do, from not just what the productions look like, but really the process of how we get there. And the culture that is behind the curtain at Sight and Sound is really important to us as well. But thank you so much for those kind words.
Now, can you tell us about some of the biblical stories that Sight and Sound Theaters has offered as live productions? I know that the one that I keep hearing so much praise about that I have not personally seen myself, but the one that involves Noah and the Ark seems to be the one that I keep hearing rave reviews about more than any others. But if you could give us the list, as far as you can remember, of the presentations from the scriptures that you folks have available at Sight and Sound.
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll start with Noah, just because it first debuted on our stage in 1995. And it was a really significant moment for us, because that's when we discovered really what we were called to do, or at least how we were called to do it. Prior to that, we had done some kind of smaller scale Bible stories and some variety shows, but that was the first show that was the big, epic, towering set pieces, you know, a stage that surrounded the audience that was filled to the brim with animals. And we said, you know what, this is what we're called to do. So Noah was the very first biblical epic. And then we've taken on stories like Daniel in the Lion's Den, Jonah, which is one of my favorites, where the whale actually 30 feet long comes out and swims out over the audience. And you may be thinking to yourself, how do they do that? Well, you got to come see it when it comes back to the stage. Moses, we parted the Red Sea with the audience sitting on the dry ground between the parting waves. The story of Samson has brought down the house, where we had the audience sitting inside of the temple at the very end, and he pushes on those pillars and it comes crashing down over top of the audience. And then
That's an interesting comment that you made. Are there any casualties during this?
Not in the audience. But as, if you know the story, you know,
yes,
people on stage do not survive.
So I'm assuming that this is lightweight material collapsing on the audience?
Correct, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. There's a moment in the story, in the show of Noah, in the top of Act 2, when the curtain comes up and the audience is sitting inside the ark. And we always talk about it, because it was that moment where we said, that's what we want to do. It literally takes your breath away. And so every time we're taking on a new production, we're saying, how can we make the audience feel like the interior ark scene again in Noah? And so in Samson, the temple collapse really was that scene for us. We said, we want the audience to be sitting inside the temple. We want these towering columns to be all around them. We want these chandeliers to be over top of them. And they know it's going to happen. You know, they know that Samson's going to push on those pillars. And when it happens, it is just breathtaking. You literally think that you're going to have a pillar come falling at you, and the lights go out just in time.
Amen. Well, I want to clarify something I'm about to say. Everybody who listens to this program knows, well, if they listen regularly anyway, they know that I would never view a theatrical performance as any kind of a replacement for a worship service, so please don't misunderstand me. But at the same time, I think that something like Sight and Sound Theaters is an excellent way to introduce your non-Christian friends to the scriptures, by having them attend an event that they might not otherwise ever attend if it was involving just a worship service at your local church. And that may lead, after they become informed and educated about true biblical accounts from history, they may become so overwhelmed that they may start attending worship services with you. You never know how God could use this, because many people, probably most people, enjoy these kinds of things, especially when they're very well done, professionally done. So I just want to strongly urge everyone who listens, if they live in Pennsylvania and the area, the surrounding area, especially, please visit Sight and Sound Theaters. But even more than that, if you have a vacation planned coming up in Pennsylvania, make Sight and Sound Theaters a part of that, and perhaps invite your family, friends, and loved ones who may live in the area. But first of all, tell us how our listeners can do that, how they can purchase tickets and so on, but also tell us about how they can see these filmed performances of Sight and Sound.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that, Chris. You know, we like to say, you know, we are not a church, but we are part of the church. And so, you know, we are not just entertainment. That's not our heart. Our mission is to present the gospel. And so we really do want to be a part of God's work in building his kingdom and seeing the Bible come to life in a different way. You know, we know that God's word is already alive. You know, we don't have to do anything else to it. But it is different to see it come to life on stage than it is to read it on the page. And so ultimately, I just want to say at the end of the day, our hope is that people would walk out feeling encouraged in their faith and inspired to go read the story for themselves. All that to say, yes, Noah is coming to life in movie theaters across the country, and the best place to get information is noahevent.com is the website where you can find a local movie theater in your neck of the woods. You can find showtimes. It's happening this week. And then there's also a link there to jump off to the Sight and Sound main website. You can read about our history and find out more about the shows that are happening there. We have Jesus live on stage this year in Lancaster. We have Samson live on stage in Branson this year. And that website is sight-sound.com.
Sight-sound.com. And is the intention eventually also to have DVDs available?
Absolutely. We started filming the shows with that purpose. It's just, we said, hey, maybe somebody's going to want to take the experience home with them. And what that's grown into is bringing the shows into movie theaters. And now we are doing a wider home entertainment release where you can get these shows on Amazon and iTunes shortly after the theatrical release. So, yes, look for more information to come on Noah being released here in the next couple weeks.
Great. Do you have any information on future productions that you care to mention that perhaps have not yet been a part of your live theater productions, but are the vision of the future of Sight and Sound Theaters?
You know, it's amazing. These shows take 3.5 years to conceive and design and produce, Chris. And so we always have new shows in the pipeline. And a show that we just announced this past fall that's going to be coming to the stage for the very first time next year in Lancaster, PA, is the story Queen Esther. And it is just absolutely magnificent. It is beautiful. It is opulent. For the very first time, we're taking on that story and that show, and just really excited for it to come to the stage.
Praise God. Well, if you could repeat all of the information that our listeners need, not only to go to a live theatrical production in Lancaster at Sight and Sound Theaters, but also to attend or go to a local theater near them and see the performances on film. And perhaps they can even get a local theater near them to have one of these showings of the films that might not otherwise do so.
Yes. So Noah, our first ever biblical epic, filmed in front of a live audience, is coming to life on the big screen in movie theaters across the country. It's this week. It's tomorrow, Tuesday. It is Thursday and Saturday only. And you can go to noahevent.com. If you have listeners in Canada, there are additional Canadian dates that are happening. later this month, and you can just go to noaaevent.com/Canada. And then, of course, if you would like to find out more about Sight and Sound and the shows that we have happening live on stage this year, you can go to sight-sound.com.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Dean. If you could just hold on the line so I could give you a proper goodbye after we go off the air. I want to thank everybody who listened today to Iron Trip and Zion Radio, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.